This is a recording of Providence Road Church of Christ in Charlotte, North Carolina.
What does your mom want for Christmas?
You'd buy her some makeup?
Yeah. Maid?
Mom wants a maid?
Maybe. Sleep.
What does your dad want for Christmas?
Well, he really likes ties and stuff.
He wants an iPad?
Mm-hmm.
Or did you say an eye patch?
An iPad.
Daddy thinks Mom needs the iPad more than he does? You've got a very smart and wise dad. I'm going to read you two names, and you tell me which one you think is a reindeer. You ready? Donner or Party?
Party.
Comet or OxyClean?
OxyClean.
Cupid or Bieber?
Bieber.
So You Think You Can or Dancer?
Dancer.
David or Hasselhoff?
Hasselhoff.
That child that. Merry Christmas. I say this as often as I can this season because it's such a wonderful opportunity for us to remind folks about what God has done for us. How many here mail packages this time of year? How many here mail gifts? You're one of those people that mails gifts. Some do, some don't. Gift mailing is a pretty crazy thing. So just to give you a clue, on the 15th, you can mail a gift with parcel post, and the United States Postal Service says it'll get there by Christmas. But if you mail it with first class mail, you can mail it on the 20th, and it'll still get there by Christmas. Priority mail, if you mail it on the 21st, you can get there. And express mail, if you mail it on the 22nd, it will get there. Now, after the 22nd, you got to go to something like UPS or FedEx. The 23rd, UPS and FedEx says you give it to them, and they will get it there on Christmas Eve. Now, that's what they say. But the truth is, every year there are packages that don't get where they're supposed to get to. There's actually even a website, which I don't encourage you to go to, in which people write all their angry things about, for instance, the U.S. Postal Service. Here's one. I mailed a $400 camera to my son in Brussels, Belgium on November 9th, 2011. The tracking number shows it was accepted in Greenwich, New York, and then nothing. Now, as the package was mail first class and not priority, as it was less than 4 pounds, it wasn't insured. So the Postal Service says they're unable to track the package. They have no idea where it's gone. Come on. This is preposterous to me. It's 2011. The U.S. Postal Service can't identify the location of a package simply because it's certain weight. It has a tracking number. Now, what's the point of that? Well, now I have to suck it up and eat $400, and someone somewhere has a really amazing Nikon camera. Whoever you are, you're welcome. So you can imagine, and just to make sure, you know, it's not just the Postal Service. This one was written on the UPS website. Today I was supposed to receive some gifts for Christmas, and they said they were delivered, but I've never seen them. So I called UPS and told them I never received my packages, and they told me they couldn't do anything for me. And they also said that they were probably stolen. Well, there's a little problem with this. My closest neighbor is my mother-in-law. My drive is at least a quarter mile, and before you hit my house, I have two big dogs. My one dog will scare you a lot because he's pretty big for a puppy, and he's part hound dog, and he'll bark and growl at you, even if he doesn't know who you are, and if I'm not out there with him. So I know they delivered them somewhere else because one day I saw a new driver, and he had no clue where he was going and tried to deliver something to me, and it was supposed to be to my mother-in-law's. I really hate UPS now. Merry Christmas. I read those and I thought it would be frustrating to send something and do all of the preparation, get it all ready to get there. But I got to tell you, the best story is Mabel Binks. Mabel Binks was 89 years old when she passed away. Now, she was a native of the Chicago area, but she was living in Phoenix at the time. And when Mabel passed away, being a pretty prudent soul, she decided she would be cremated. That's what her plans were. Well, they cremated her in Phoenix because it was less expensive than to ship her body back to Chicago and cremate her there. So they mailed her ashes. You know where this is going, from Phoenix to Chicago along with a little container. Mabel Binks got lost in the mail. For a month, they could not find Grandma. The U.S. Postal Service went into an all-out frenzy trying to find this woman's remains. The funeral came and went, and the family was quite upset. They said, we felt like liars because we had a false, you know, urn up there, because we didn't want to get up and say, we don't know where she is, but we're going to go ahead with our get-together today. The U.S. Postal Service says, we are looking into how this happened, but we want you to know this is not business as usual. I thought that was a great way of trying to say, trust us, we won't lose Grandma again. Now, I don't know what the most valuable package you've ever mailed is, but today the tip that I have to share is a very simple one. Our first tip, do you remember what our first tip was? And that is, it isn't a good gift unless what? Unless you give it. Salvation is a blessing from God, but God gives it to us so that we can give it to others. Have you been given that gift this season? In love, in encouragement, you inviting somebody to the program tonight, great thing for family to say, okay, maybe you can't go to church with us, but come this evening. How about on Christmas Eve? That's a wonderful time to invite folks out. The second tip was the one given last week, and boy, didn't the fellow last week do a great job. Patrick Mead was just excellent, even if he is a Scots guy. He did a great job, and we now have translations both into Spanish and English. We'll have that translated this next week. He cracked me up. He said, man, I enjoyed your congregation. They got my humor. And I said, well, yeah, of course they did. He said, no, you need to understand, most churches don't get my humor because it's so weird. And I said, what are you trying to say? He said, I think they're used to weird humor is what I think. He did a great job. That's online. If you missed it, that's online, and you can go right online and listen to him and even hear his program on parenting. You can order a DVD of that, and eventually we'll have that online as well. His lesson was about the fact that everyone needs a good gift, even who? Samaritans, and going through Samaria and challenging all of us on that. So here's our tip for this week. Very simple tip. It isn't a good gift if the recipient doesn't get it. You can't call it a good gift if it doesn't get there. Oh, I promised. I sent it. The package was mailed. It should be there. But sometimes people just don't get it. Let me show you a time in the Bible, and I think this is fair, but you decide for yourself. Open up your Bibles to the book of Acts, to chapter 26. And let me read you about a time that I think maybe the recipient wasn't getting it. Paul was standing before Festus and Agrippa, sharing with them who Jesus is, that the Christ would suffer, and that the first to rise from the dead would proclaim light to his own people and to the Gentiles. Now, he's giving this gospel presentation, and all of a sudden, Festus interrupts and says, Paul, you're out of your mind. Your great learning is driving you insane. Oh, I'm not insane, most excellent Festus, Paul replied. What I'm saying is true and reasonable. The king is familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to him. I'm convinced that none of this has escaped his notice, because it was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do. And Agrippa said to Paul, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? I wonder what happened there. Now, Paul, I know, is a great teacher and preacher. We've seen him speak to people and have folks come to Christ. We've seen him turn people's hearts around as the Holy Spirit worked through him. But in this particular moment, both of these guys kind of went, we don't get it. Festus says, I think you're just nuts. Agrippa says, man, you expect me all of a sudden just to bang, turn around and become a Christian? I'm afraid through the years, Christians have gotten both of those responses from different people. Sometimes we just come off like we're nuts. We come off like we think everybody ought to automatically understand that there is this unseen force that created heaven and earth, who's really a person who sent his son, who showed up as a baby in a manger, lived to only 33 years old, and then was tried, convicted, and crucified, and rose from the grave. And that's God's son. Now, that story is so familiar to you that you may say, well, yeah, of course. We live in a day and age increasing every year in which more and more folks don't even believe that there was a sender, much less a gift. Everybody understand what I'm saying? More and more who ask, is there even anything out there? The number of atheists continue to grow. So what's our reaction to that? Hatred? Anger? No, we just need to make sure we do the best job possible sending the gift of God's love through our hearts and through our actions. God chose you. You are God's holy FedEx guy, God's UPS gal. You are the holy mailman or woman. He said, here, take this to your neighbor. Surely you've had that time when a package has had to be dropped off at your house for your neighbor. Or somebody came by and said, here, could you be sure and get this to them? What a tragedy if somebody gave it to you, but you gave it to them in such a way that they just didn't get it. Well, I left it on your back porch. I left it out there in the front. Many of you know the year that, well, I said many of you, that it's been Christmas a few years back, that my wife had planned a wonderful meal, a turkey, and she was thawing it on the back porch. She meant for it to get to us. She really did. It was intended for us. When our dachshund got back in the screened-in porch, pulled that turkey off the table, this amazing dachshund, pulled that turkey off the table it was on and ate most of it. Well, the challenge was that made the dog so terribly huge, and my kids just panicked, and Riley especially said, Mom, what do we got to do? And they called the animal care place, and they said, okay, give him a little teaspoon of hydrogen peroxide. And what that'll do is that'll, you know, wait about, you know, 5 minutes and then go outside and take him for a walk way away from the house because he's going to get rid of all that. And so on two nights before Christmas, in our kitchen where there was all kinds of good food and cookies and things that were being baked, my middle son gave our dachshund a little scoopful of hydrogen peroxide. And 15 seconds later, I'll just end the story there. The turkey never made it to us. We had ham that year at Christmas, and then we had to clean up the kitchen. Can you imagine the disgust of someone who takes all the time and all the energy to prepare something and then says, can you just get it from here to there? And instead, people say, goodness gracious, you're just crazy. Or maybe you're pressuring me. I think that's what Agrippa might have been saying. You think it's such a short time you can come up and tell me the four spiritual laws or have a quick Bible study with me or boom, 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 here it is. I believe that everyone has the right to refuse the gift of God's joy. Now, I didn't give him that right. God did. I believe in free will. I know that God is sovereign and that he is ultimately, absolutely in control of everything. Can I get a oh yeah? And I recognize that I've got the rope of God's sovereignty, but over here I've got another rope of free will, and to ring the bells, I got to have both of them. Because if I let go of free will, how can you ever love anybody without free will? Y'all understand what I'm saying? Love is impossible without you making a choice. If love is something that is forced at gunpoint, we don't call it love, we call it coercion. If love is something that you've got somebody twisting your arm behind your back and saying, you've got to do this, you have no choice, that's not love. Love at its root is a choice that we have. So on the one hand, I believe that we have free will, and on the other hand, I believe that God is in charge. So here's what the God who is in charge said. You get to choose. You have the right. Sometimes in talking to people, I forget they have the right to say no. To say, no, I don't want to follow Jesus. No, thank you, I don't want to go to church. But that was God's choice. Our joy is to be the one that seeks to hold it out in the best way possible. I want to deliver the gift in a way that I know it will get there. With that in mind, let me offer two thoughts, and then we'll look at the way that Jesus actually shared the gift. First, I want to ask you, why is it that people sometimes don't get it? We share that God so loved them that he wanted to give them life and what they need to do. And let me just say this morning, if you're here and you've never given your heart and life to Jesus, here's the whole message. He came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my sins to pay. And then from the cross to the grave, and from the grave to the sky. He proved who he was by his resurrection and says to you, trust me, I'll get you through the grave to the sky as well. If you've never given your heart and life to Jesus, if you've never said, okay, I trust you, Christ, because you're the only one who has gone that whole journey that I can follow. Today, I hope you, like last week, in fact, I failed to mention last Sunday, we had three baptisms, praise God. Taylor McCoy was baptized, and Miriam Rojas and Patrick Newcomb were all baptized into Christ. And we say, thank you, Lord, for that. As each one of those people simply said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, chose to turn their lives around, confessed Jesus, and were baptized into Christ. If you haven't taken that step, then I hope you would do that today. But sometimes people don't get the package because our manner messes them up. Now, let me let Paul's words describe what I'm talking about. Paul writes this in the book of Philippians. Do everything without, can you say these words, grumbling or arguing. Why does Paul emphasize grumbling and arguing? He says, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation, as you shine among them like stars in the sky, holding firmly to the word of life. The language there literally has holding out the words of life. He says, if you, as the messenger of God's love, aren't loving, people may miss the point. If you, as the messenger of God's love, aren't giving, people may miss the gift. If you, as the messenger of God's love, aren't forgiving, people may miss the forgiveness. I read a little quote the other day that I laughed at and then paused to pray about. It said, there's no fight like a church fight. There's no fight like a church fight. Now, I won't ask you to raise your hands about how many of you ever been involved in a church fight. I still remember a funeral that I helped my father with, boy, more than 40 years ago. Lady passed away at church, and as a kid, I really wasn't aware that there was some tension going on at our church back then. But when folks came in to the funeral, they began to sit on certain sides, because this family had been right at the center of this controversy, this difficulty. Somebody had said something, and you know, it became one of those things where certain folks took so-and-so's side and certain folks took somebody else's side. And I remember my father watching people as they came in and shaking his head. One family came in, sat down, looked around, realized they were on the wrong side of the church, got up and moved across the aisle to sit on the other side. And so my dad took the opportunity at the end of the service, after the final prayer had been said, to say, I know that there has been some tension here. And if there was ever a time for you to bury these concerns, maybe this is it. As a kid, I thought, man, why in the world is he doing that? Why press this issue of people getting along, of people treating one another right, of people forgiving one another? As a man, I grew up and read Scripture, and I realize it's not just a matter of, hey, we all want to be a happy family. Brothers and sisters, if we aren't living in the light of Christ, if we're not treating one another with love and respect, if we're not treating our neighbors with love and respect, the message may never get heard because our manner is wrong. Now, sometimes the message may not get heard because the message is wrong. Maybe they don't get it because we're just not telling it right. So let's look for just a few moments at what Jesus had to say when he had a moment to share with somebody. Open your Bibles up to John chapter 3, if you would. In the third chapter of the book of John, Jesus meets a man named Nicodemus, who late at night has come to see him. Much is made of the fact that it's late at night, some say because Nicodemus didn't want to be seen. And I think that's probably a fair guess. But when he has this conversation with Jesus, Jesus speaks to him and gives him the core of the gospel. After this wonderful moment of saying, you must be born again, and Nicodemus saying, how in the world am I going to be born again? I mean, I'm old. How can I enter again into my mother's womb? And Jesus says, no, this is a spiritual thing. Don't you get it? Don't you see it? Jesus makes this comment to him. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and you do not understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we've seen, but still, you people don't accept our testimony. I've spoken to you of earthly things, and you don't believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. And then Jesus says these words. You probably know these. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. There are two things that are part of this message that are essential. You want to give the good gift? Here's two things that have got to be part of any gospel presentation. First off, people need to know they are loved by God. Amen? Since the very beginning of your earthly existence, you have needed love. Babies that don't get picked up, held, and coddled, a study showed, are actually more at risk physically because of that lack of love and touch and attention. You are wired that way. You are wired to respond to touch, and you are wired to respond to care and love. But no other human being can fill the love need that you have like God can. And for that reason, the most important message your kids will ever hear from you. Teenagers, I know there's 50 messages coming at you at all times. Some through your ears and some through the screen. And mom and dad are telling you need to get your homework done. And you need to brush your teeth. And you need to make your bed. And you need to mow the lawn. And. Here's the message you need to know more than anything else. God loves you like it's going out of style. He knows everything you've done. He knows all the stuff you've done that your folks don't know, that you hope your folks never find out about. And he loves you anyway. Mom and dad, single friend, who's sitting here wondering, if this church knew everything I'd done, would they even let me be a part of this church? Guess what? God knows it all. And he loves you anyway. For God so, can you say it? Loved. Go ahead and practice with somebody next to you. Lean over, tell him and tell him, God really loves you. Go ahead and tell him that. See, this is the gospel message. God really loves you. And we need to show that in our lives as well as tell that. We show that by the kindness. Thank you, by the way, those of you who took those bags for Sunrise Assisted Living. The sweet folks that live in the elder care place just down the road. Many of them having, you know, dementia and Alzheimer's issues. Thank you for doing that. And by the way, those are due back today or at the latest tonight. They can bring them tonight, Holly Barrett, right? They can bring those this evening as well as this morning. Good deal. So we need to get them back here. Thank you for doing that. Do you realize that's one way of showing God's love is through kindness that we do for others? Do you realize when you do take, I don't know if you take cookies to the neighbors or if you stop by and say Merry Christmas, every time we get a chance to share with someone God's love. And maybe that's when somebody says Merry Christmas to you and you just respond, yes, he loves us so. But there's another part to this message. And it really, they don't get it. They won't get the package. It'll go to the wrong address without this. And that is that we're lost without Christ. Open your Bibles for a minute to the book of Ephesians. You can lay your hand in John there, although I know you know that by heart. Go over to Ephesians chapter 2. When Paul writes this letter to a church that he loves so, he begins the second chapter this way. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us who lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Man, that just sounds like such bad news. If you don't get the bad news, you can't appreciate the good news. Praise God for the fact that God loves us. Amen. But the reality is that love is so needed, and we need to access that love and speak out to God and say, Father, I want to receive that love, because without it, we are deserving of wrath, dead in our sins. Now, I actually believe that this is in part an American problem. Because as Americans, we are bootstrap folks who love to tell the story of our history. I was over at school, one of the schools the other day, and saw a U.S. history book. And on the front of it, it said the history of Americans, and this big bold print, and you see these kind of pioneers in the background of this picture. And I saw it and I thought, man, it makes me proud, because we came to this land and all the hard scrabble, and we made it through Valley Forge and we tamed the country. Now, I know there's all kinds of other things we don't like to talk about, like the people who are already here. But the bottom line is, we as Americans grow up with this feeling that we can conquer anything. And then someone says, yes, and I became a Christian. How'd you do it? Well, there were bumper stickers out for a while that said, I found it. Do you guys remember those? Back in the 70s and 80s, it was this Christian bumper sticker, campaign that was done. And it said, I found it. That's a very American approach. I found it. I did. I went out and I discovered the gospel. I went to heaven and said to God, how about this? Why don't you send your son? And he'll die for our sins. I found it. Brothers and sisters, we didn't find anything. God delivered it to our world in a way that we could never miss. So much so that every year, this time of year, our whole world stops and says, something happened. This baby was born, and they'll do it again at Easter time. It's important that we're able to share the part of the gospel that says, we need Jesus because we are lost in our sins. So you say, man, how do you communicate that? Well, let's just use Jesus' language. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever just believes in him can have eternal life. There are two verbs for God. God loved and God gave. He gave a gift that is incalculable in its cost. Would you give a child, your child? So what's our verbs? If God loved and gave, then our verbs are, we get to believe and have. God loved and gave, we believe and have. Now, if your background's like mine, you say, wait a minute, we need to get in more words along with that believe, like repent and confess and be baptized. And all those are important words, but they flow out of faith. It is faith that causes me to repent, right? Everybody understand that? It's faith in my doctor when I go to him and he says, listen, Mr. Walling, you're going to have to take this particular medicine because it's going to lower your cholesterol, or you need to have your diet in a certain way. It's my faith in my doctor that prompts me to make those difficult changes. It is my faith in Jesus that prompts me to say, okay, Christ, if you say I need to change my life, I'm going to do it. If you say I need to do this, I'm going to do it. My last trip to the doctor, he used some foul language with me. Made me uncomfortable. He used the word colonoscopy. Some of you know how foul a word that is. My doctor went on to say, at your age you need to do this and I'm going to sign you up. And I said, can you tell me a little bit about it? I've heard other people that said it isn't very pleasant. And he laughed. He said, oh, it's awful. It's just awful. He said, the night before, you're going to have to drink all this stuff, and it's going to mess your system up, and just plan on staying up all night long, and you're going to drink and drink, and you think you can't drink anymore, and there's still this much in the bottle. And he described this scene that sounded like it should be illegal. It's torture. It's worse than waterboarding. It's kind of reverse waterboarding, you know? And so I'm listening to this, and I said, can I ask this question? Is this really necessary? I mean, can't you MRI me or CAT scan me or anything? And he looked at me, and he's probably used this before, and said, why are you here? Because my wife made the appointment and told me to go. I mean, you know. He said, why are you here sitting in front of me? I said, well, because I want to be well. He says, you're still not answering the question. Why are you here? I don't know. Tell me why I'm here. He says, you're here because you trust me. You're here because you trust me. So trust me. Go drink the stuff and take the colonoscopy. So I made the appointment. He said, why'd you do that? Because you understand the whole process? No. Because you understand? No. I got this doctor, and I trust him. Brothers and sisters, I don't know all how repentance, confession, baptism, how God uses all of that in this salvation process. But I trust the doctor. Amen. So when somebody said, well, now, wait a minute. I've read this about baptism, and I've read that about confession. I just say, here's the deal. I just trust the doctor. He said, if you believe me, if you trust me, then you can have this everlasting life. And so I trust the doctor when he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you. That's what Peter spoke. Or when Jesus says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. I wonder if there's a gift, a package that was supposed to get to you. Has it? I know it was sent. But did you get it? For God so loved you that he gave his son. If you trust him, everlasting life is yours. Will you pray with me? Father, today I ask that you'd give courage to those who've never received that wonderful gift. And God, maybe they didn't get it because we didn't send it quite right. But Lord, I know that you sent it through your Son. So today I pray that when we sing this invitation song, God, there may be some here who feel like that maybe they've hindered somebody else from getting the good gift. There may be those here who just say, I want so badly for my sister, for my mom, for my friend to get the gift. God, there may be some here who have never been baptized into Jesus Christ, have never trusted him and just obeyed him. God, I pray they would trust the Savior and enjoy the gift. Lord, I pray they do that this Christmas season, even today. I pray this in Christ's holy name, and all that agree say, amen. Well, there may have been a $400 camera lost. There may have been a $1,000 piece of artwork that got lost in the mail, and yeah, even grandma's ashes for a while. But there is no greater delivery of a good gift than this one. Have you been sharing it? Have you truly received it? If that burden's on your heart and you're saying, no, I need to make a change, then this front row is open for you. While we stand and while we sing, if you're in need, won't you come?